baffled. Even considering the probability that there was sorcery involved, how could it have vanished so completely? There was no cover anywhere around. I spotted some crows starting to circle about a quarter mile away. "All right, you son of a bitch. We'll see how fast you can run." There was nothing there when I got there. The cycle repeated itself 3 times. I got no closer. The last time I halted, I did so atop a low crest that, from a quarter mile, overlooked 100-acre wood. I dismounted and stood beside my horse. We stared. "You too?" I asked. His breathing was as uneven as mine, and those monster beasts never got winded. That was a sight down there. Never have I seen so many crows, except maybe on a recent battlefield. In a lifetime of travel and study, I have come upon 50 tales about haunted forests. The woods are always described as dark and dense and old, or the trees are mostly dead, skeleton hands reaching for the sky. This wood fit none of the particulars, except for density. Yet it sure felt haunted. I tossed my reins across the horse's neck, strapped on a buckler, drew my sword from its saddle scabbard, and started forward. The horse came along behind me, maybe 8 feet back, head down so his nostrils were almost to the ground, like a hound on the track. The crows were most numerous over the center of the wood. I did not trust my eyes, but thought I detected some squat, dark structure among the trees there. The closer I got, the slower I moved, meaning maybe a part of me was still infected with common sense. The part that kept telling me that I was not cut out for this sort of thing. I wasn't some lone, brawling swordsman who stalked evil into its lair. I am a dope cursed with an unhealthy portion of curiosity. Curiosity had me by the chin whiskers and kept right on dragging me along. There was one lone tree that approximated the stereotype, a bony old thing about half dead, as big around as me, standing like a sentinel 30 feet from the rest of the wood. Scrub and saplings clustered around its feet, rising waist high. I paused to lean against it while I talked myself into or out of something. The horse came up till his nose bumped my shoulder. I turned my head to look at him. Snake hiss. Thump. I gawked at the arrow quivering in the tree 3 inches from my fingers and only started to get myself down when it struck me that the shaft had not been meant to stick me in the brisket. Head, shaft, and fletching, that bolt was as black as a priest's heart. The shaft itself had an enameled look. An inch behind the head was a wrap of white. I levered the arrow out of the tree and held the message close enough to read. "It is not yet time, Croaker." The language and alphabet were those of the Jewel Cities. Interesting? Right. Not yet time. I peeled the paper off, crumpled it into a ball, tossed it at the wood. I looked for some sign of the archer. There was none, of course. I shoved the arrow into my quiver, swung onto my saddle, turned the horse, and rode about a step. A shadow ran past, of a crow flying up to have a look at the 7 little brown men waiting for me atop the hill. "You guys never give up, do you?" I got back down, behind the horse, took out my bow, strung it, drew an arrow, the arrow just collected.